Welcome to the Next Level Occupational Therapy Podcast. My name is Kara Welke, occupational therapist and creator of the Next Level Occupational Therapy platform. The goal of this podcast is to encourage, inspire, and motivate occupational therapy professionals to level up in their career. Whether that be to start a new business, add a side job, and/or to figure out how to be more satisfied in their current career. Thank you for listening to today's show, which is sponsored by our Therapy Business Builder Program, where we help healthcare professionals start the business of their dreams from the ground up. Also, be sure to join our free Next Level Occupational Therapy Facebook group. And for even more support, guidance, and training, check out our Next Level Visionary Membership group. Time to level up occupational therapy professionals. Today's podcast is a little different than previous podcast episodes. Today, you will be able to listen to a group of occupational therapy professionals who have created their own products. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone in the Side Gigs and Alternative Opportunities group. Kara Welke here. And my cohort in crime, Javier. And
what's going on?
Today, we have four amazing professionals with us that have all created products, whether that is books, courses, webinars, sold their curriculums, subscription box, apparel line, and more. So, first thing we're going to do is we are going to start with just having each one introduce themselves, and then we'll get into the product creation. So, Angela, you want to go first?
First up. Hi, everybody. So I'm Angela Bender. I live in Southern Oregon, and I'm an occupational therapist. I've been an OT for about 20 years now, and I work in pediatrics. So recently opened a practice, and I have some products and things that I'm launching and working with, and that's me.
Thank you, Angela. I muted myself for some reason. Have it. Lean, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I am Dr. Douglene Jackson, and I have my own company, Global Interventions for Therapy Services, among many other hats I wear. And I have experience in academia, assistive technology, as well as research. So educating and helping others be the best professional they can be is my passion.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. And Lisa.
Yeah. So my name is Lisa Haverly. I've been an OT for over 20 years, also in pediatrics. But 8 years ago, I started creating nature-based therapeutic camps for children, so outdoors. And then a few years ago, I had people asking for my content beautifully packaged. And so with the help of Kara motivating me to get that out there, I am creating curriculum for all of my nature camps that I've been doing for the last 7-8 years. So that's what I'm working on here in Hudson, Wisconsin. That's where I live.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa. And Holly.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Holly Masters. I am a CODA. I've been practicing for 2 years now, and I live in Ohio, but our company, Purpose Therapy Box, is based in PA. I'm co-owner. Allie, she's also a CODA. We launched Purpose about 2 years ago. We have a quarterly subscription box for older adults to help keep families connected, and we send functional therapeutic themed products in each box. And then we recently launched a subscription box for OT practitioners and students to highlight OT entrepreneurship and an awesome OT apparel line.
That's fabulous. And Holly, did you happen to mention when you started your subscription box and your company?
So Purpose launched in June of 2018. So
What were you doing at the time? Weren't you a student, level 2 student?
Oh, yes. We launched it when we were level 2 in our clinicals. Yes.
So I think that's awesome. And I just wanted to point that out because you can start products when you're still students. So that's pretty amazing. So thank you. So obviously you all see we have amazing lineup here tonight. So let's hear about the product. So Angela, why don't you tell us about a little bit more about the products you created?
So I started kind of backwards. So I started with a course. So when I was doing opening my practice and kind of just doing all of my education to try and get my business up and running, I really just found that my passion, my love, although I love OT and treating, is educating other therapists just starting off. And I think that what happened when I was doing my education was that it just opened your mind up to a lot more things. You forget about your hopes and your dreams and your things you really want out of your career. And once you start thinking about that and learning about business and learning that you can reach so many more people doing what you want to do, then it opens up a whole nother world. So I created a mentoring course for clinicians who are new to pediatrics for OTs. So it's a mix of online content, videos, a support group of people in the course, and then it has a component of virtual mentoring where we meet up X number of times throughout the 3-month period of the course to do some more one-on-one mentoring and problem solving and things. So I have that, and I did that first, and then I wrote a book. So my book was actually created just to try and get more information about the course out there and to help promote the course. So it's kind of a mini version and a taste of the course. So there's lots of helpful info in there. There's some things that aren't in the course that are in the book to help people with job search and some different things just getting out of school that aren't in the course. But then I am ideally using the book to try and promote the course and just serve and get more information out there to people. So those are my two main projects right now. I also have a parent feeding class that I'm doing with a couple other clinicians. So we just finished an online course for parents who have challenges with kids with picky eating and things like that. So that's kind of my side hustle.
That's awesome. And you have that with another OT and a dietitian, right? Or I can't remember exactly. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
It is definitely that not is myself. And it's very helpful to have people who are helping you do it and keep you moving along. And we just started that when COVID all happened. And we were going to do it months later. And we, by having more people involved, we all kind of pushed each other. And so that was really great.
That is so cool. And I think the greatest thing about that is that, you know, we have all these amazing ideas. And the coolest thing is that we don't actually have to do all the components of it. We don't have to create everything. You know, in this group alone, we have so many people in so many different professions that can come together that you can collaborate with and help a ton of people. So just keep that in mind as you move forward, like in finding your side gigs. Because they're all the people that you'll ever need to collaborate with are already in this group. So start engaging, start talking to people. I think that's amazing, Angela. Great stuff.
Thank you, Angela. Okay, Dougline, let's hear about your products and everything you've created. We might not have enough time.
I know. So I've been an OT for well over 20 years, and I'm a collector of knowledge. I have alphabet soup behind my name. I don't sign them. But I do that because I'm passionate about our profession and making sure that evidence is there and that clinicians are aware of best practice. So I went into academia thinking, okay, this will help me mentor the next generation of therapists. But in academia, you have the standards that you need to teach. And I felt like I was in a box. And the charge was to educate entry-level practitioners. But being a consumer of healthcare myself, I don't want an entry-level clinician. I want a clinician who is confident in their skills. They aren't Googling everything to figure out how to take care of me. They're not treating me based on YouTube videos. So I started developing courses as well as mentoring practitioners and business owners so that they can be their best selves. So one of the products I developed is around telehealth. Now, I have experience in telehealth. I've started community-based programs, mentored others, interprofessionally. So a lot of the things I do aren't just in the OT realm. I work interprofessionally across disciplines, across professions, so that we can get this information out there. Because in the end, all we care about is improving someone's function, improving someone's independence. And telehealth is just another service delivery model for us to be able to do so. So some people are so afraid of it, they don't know where to start. So one of the products I started is Start Teletherapy. It is a group and there is a course. Now, I created the course because you need to lay that foundation. And there's so many groups out there and so many people coming on saying, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. And they got hung up on the technology. So there's many resources out there for technology, many groups. My friend Reyna Oliveira has a book out there, Telehealth OT, and she talks about a lot of stuff. But the thing that's needed most is, where do we go from there? The intervention piece is where people got hung up on. So I developed the course around interventions. So it helps structure that. And I love acronyms. So that's where the START comes from. And once you master that acronym and learn how to apply it, you can treat on the fly. You don't have to waste countless hours trying to figure out what is it that I'm going to do in this session. That START acronym helps you know how to do just that. And also for my next 90 mindset, I've been consulted from a lot of business owners outside of the healthcare field because they're stuck right now with COVID-19. So I've been teaching courses to help them revision their business. So we do virtual sessions where we come together and do that self-care that we need personally, and then shift to figure out how to pivot our businesses so that we can be successful in the current COVID-19 market and beyond. So a lot of virtual courses, mentoring, and engagement is what I've been developing around. And I've taught for years, I speak internationally, and I just lay down, wake up, and I've got an idea and I can knock it out really quickly. So I love course creation. I love content development, and it helps streamline that process for clinical reasoning skills so that we can be effective in our jobs.
Now, you've also created courses or webinars that AOTA has with AOTA too, right? Or
yes, I've done podcasts with AOTA and I've created two courses. One of them that they sell is on my assistive technology framework, the Octopus framework, where it streamlines that process on what do you do for assistive technology for an evaluation, as well as intervention across the lifespan. So even though I specialize primarily in pediatrics, I touch the whole lifespan when it comes to assistive technology, which is one of my joys there. I love creating. I taught AT courses where we build switches out of business cards and they're like, what? Yes, all those things can be done. So AOTA sells one of my courses, two of them. They also had me do a keynote speech for them at one of their school specialty conferences, the Children and Youth Specialty Conference, on ethics. So there's a presentation that they sell on school-based ethics, because we need to be ethical. We need to figure out how to navigate these tricky situations, because we get one license. You as a professional get one license. And if you have a supervisor asking you to do something and your gut says, go back to your ethics and see, consult others. And if it doesn't feel right, move out of that space. You only get one license. So yes, thank you for bringing that up, Kara.
Awesome. And you didn't even mention, I don't think, that you're starting a book too, right?
Yes, I am writing a book on telehealth assessment and intervention. One of my jobs right now, because I have multiple side gigs, one of my jobs is an assessment consultant with Western Psychological Services. So when I speak, I have to think of my conflicts of interest, which make things tricky. So I have a free webinar out there on their page. If anyone's interested, they can ask later. But it's to truncate all that process so you can know where to go. A lot of organizations are starting out and they're like, hey, Dagleen, can you help us get started? Practitioners are like, can you give us some tips, some pointers so that we can get started? And those who are in the field already are like, okay, it's so much energy spent on planning and documentation. How can I streamline this? So yes, I'm putting all of that into a book so that multiple disciplines in the allied health realm can pick it up and be like, okay, with this framework, I can fly. I can just treat on the fly and go and reclaim my life, reclaim my time.
Awesome. Hey, Javi, that's another thing we need to add, because I forgot. I've done that in the past, is work with assessment companies and given assessments to help them with standard
with standardizing them. And you get pretty good money and you also get like the free assessment and so forth. So we should add that to our list of things that we could talk about sometime. So,
okay. Yeah, definitely. Awesome. I love it.
Okay. Lisa.
Yes. So I'm also a school-based OT. So if you are a school-based therapist and you work 9 months out of the year and you need a side gig, that is kind of what I did with my nature camps. And so probably 3 or 4 years ago, I began getting like this influx of therapists saying, I want to do what you're doing, but I do not have time to create all that you have done. And I tell you, it's been some work over the years to kind of perfect everything that I've created, lots of fine tuning. And so what I've been creating are my curriculums for my camps with like scripts, detailed timelines, even some PDFs of different content that you can use that will supplement. So, you know, 20 to 30 page documents of everything you need, from what to say, the project to do, the materials needed, all of the consent forms, registration forms. So that's what I have been focusing on, so that a therapist could pick it up and implement it, you know, this summer. So that's what I've been working on right now, along with some other things, but the curriculums have been kind of the big bulk right now. And so, yeah.
Which is huge, because that is so hard to create all of that. And it's like you have a business in the box. You can do your nature-based camps and take it and go. So, because you're also working on a course, right? Or
yes.
Training. Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Lisa.
Yep.
Okay. Holly.
So purpose is, it's grown a lot in the last year. So I guess we can split it into three categories now. The first is our original subscription, which is for older adults. When we were doing our level two clinicals in nursing homes with older adults and assisted living, we just noticed a lot of residents weren't receiving visitors. And when we would talk to them, they would say the families lived out of town, or, oh, they're so busy, you know, I don't want to bother them. So we decided to go back to their original form of communication with mail, mixing it with a new subscription model that kind of our my generation's used to. And we developed Purpose. So it's a quarterly subscription, and all the categories are based off of OT themes. So strengthening, fine motor, cognition, and self-care. The families can go on our website. We just launched our new website a couple, 3 months ago now, and it's a totally customizable. You can add your photos to each box, you can add the message, and then from there we fulfill in-house still, which is awesome because we get to really personalize everything. The loved one can fill out a survey about their older loved ones, so we know if they have any diagnoses that they would like to disclose to us, what their hobbies are, you know, favorite colors, little things that we would be able to personalize products into the boxes. And that's gone really well. So that's almost 2 years old now. And then the second part is our sponsor a senior program. So this was launched last Christmas, and we had noticed, you know, even though we have this subscription, we're still not targeting the people in nursing homes that don't even have family. I work in a SNF. I've been working in a SNF for 2 years now, and it just breaks your heart when you go into these patients' rooms and there's no photos on the walls. They maybe never had kids or never got married, and they don't have anybody to send them a box. So the sponsor a senior program pretty much is community-based as far as recipients right now, but anybody can sponsor, and we go in to the nursing home and we work with the activity directors and social workers to determine who doesn't have family or who doesn't really receive visitors, or if somebody's in need of a product that we would be able to purchase. A lot of times for Christmas, for example, the activity budget is like $5 per person, which isn't going to get you like a quality thing that somebody might need. So we have a little, you know, more wiggle room with our budget that we're able to purchase these items for these people. We go in, we have a personal visit with them, we get their picture with the box, and then we send who sponsored an email to let them know. That's been one of like the best things to count a purpose, in my opinion, because we get to see the direct impact. Unfortunately, the whole program is on like suspended right now because of COVID and just because of all the increased restrictions with nursing home visitation. We're still trying to work out a way that we would be able to continue this program, you know, maybe starting in the summer, even if we just drop the boxes off and they're delivered by the workers. And then the last part of our business right now is the OT section. So we just launched for OT month, a new apparel line. This is, can't really see it, but we have one shirt. It actually says OT, not TO, but it's got adaptive equipment in it. And then we have a sticker line with sticker packs. We have like a sale going every week for OT month. And we have a subscription box. So this is called OT Objective, and we're taking a therapist-centered approach. We really wanted to help decrease burnout and just remind people why they got into this profession and highlight other OT entrepreneurs. Our box this month has a clinitode in it, which we're trying to feature products that either CODAs or OTRs have developed to let people know that there's other options, you know, besides just the standard treatments. And we have, you know, treatment tips in there, just fun, like OT apparel. And that's semi-annual. So that's only 2 times a year, just to help celebrate OT month too. So we've been pretty busy, and we're all e-commerce, and we build our websites and everything. So if anybody would need help with that, we do have a skill set to help there.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, Holly. Okay, let's go back to Angela. Let's talk about what are the steps that you had to take? And I know there's many, but maybe highlight some of the major steps you had to take to start creating these products. So for people that are interested in creating like a course or like you did or your book, what are some steps you took?
Yeah, so hopefully you can learn from me. So I'm not a great planner. As an OT, I have very poor executive functioning skills, but I just kind of dove in. Like I had this idea for the course and I just put the idea out there, and then a bunch of people responded and were like, oh, I'd be totally interested in that. I really want to do that. Like, can I sign up? And I'm like, oh, well, it's just an idea in my head. So I guess the first thing I did was just to see, is this actually a problem? Like, I think it's a problem that we don't have mentoring in our jobs anymore like we used to. And it's a big struggle for people just starting. And it's a struggle for employers. It's a struggle for therapists who want to help but don't have the time. And then you have the people who are newly coming in who just get so frustrated. And in the end, our clients don't get the best care that they could be. So you have to first, I would say, figure out, is what you think a problem actually a problem? Do your research. And then what I did was I started to develop a curriculum, and then I just tested it for free with like 3 people. I just picked 3 people who were super interested and always responsive and I thought would be, you know, really good information for me. And then I changed what I did like based on their input. So added some things, took certain things out, did things in a different format. But really, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know how to use PowerPoint, to be honest, like nothing. So you don't need this huge skill set. If you have an idea, just make sure it's actually a problem and then put the information together. You can make it prettier as the months go on, but if somebody needs the information, they're going to still purchase it, however it looks. Like, yeah, of course, it's nice to be all packaged and pretty, but, and then like I didn't apply for continuing education units or anything for it, but I did find out that we can use some of that time for CEUs for mentoring. You know, it does qualify under those things. So I'd say think about what alternatives, you know, people are, what problems are they going to balk at? And everybody wants CEUs, right? So what are some other things and alternatives you can offer to help solve that problem? And I would just say networking was the hugest thing. Like you have to connect with people. You have to reach out to other people to see what they're doing. So part of how I ended up writing a book was I connected with Jeremy Sutton through our whole kind of same network of people through SSPT. And he gave me some great ideas. And then I ended up taking his course. And then that helped me write the book. But I would say you have to network, you have to reach out, just like Holly mentioned, we're really great at this, you know, reach out to us. But you have to know who can do what, if people really want what you have, and then you'll figure it out along the way. I mean, I think I did it the hard way, but next time it will be much easier. Like the short course I did with the other OT and dietitian, with Abigail and Stephanie, it was so much easier. We were like, do this on PowerPoint, make it look pretty, record it on Zoom, put it in a Facebook group, advertise it this way. It's not like we have a ton of people buying it yet, but it was so much easier to create. So you learn by doing. Don't let that stop you. You don't know how to do it. Just find somebody else who did, or just do it your own way and try and get it out there. You can always change it.
Again, muted myself. Thank you, Angela. That's awesome. Okay, Dougleen, let's hear from you.
All righty. So how do you get started? It starts with an idea, and then you have to do your market research. Similar to what Angela said, is it truly something that someone wants to consume, or is it just something that you enjoy? One of the things to think about is when you do your market research, it's to validate what it is that you're looking to develop, and not just based on your own perception and perspective. Because I always have to be reminded that no one loves research like you do, Doug Lead. No one wants to sit there and read a full book like you do, Doug Lead. So what is it that the people actually want? And that's what you develop for. So that's the biggest thing that I would recommend for people to consider, is to do your market research. That's how you get started. And then just start. The first step is the best step, because you'll see progress. But if you keep muddling in your head and nothing's happening, then you won't have a finished product at all. So just start is what I tell everybody. Do your market research and make sure you're building for what people actually want.
How does it work with, because I know some people are asking in here, like, how do you get like the CEUs, or like, how did you partner with AOTA to get them actually selling your courses? Like, how does that kind of stuff work?
People have actually approached me. So a lot of those courses, I had no intention of putting one together. I presented at a conference and they're like, oh my gosh, can you please present? And my assistive technology one, if you notice on it, it doesn't say AOTA. They bought it from somebody else who was selling it. It's nice that it was picked up, because it's timely and it's what people need. So you have to put yourself out there. It's not always about, okay, how much are you paying me to come and do this? Sometimes you just get the information out there and people realize that, okay, you really do know what you're talking about, and I don't have to go read all the books and the research. You've got it all in there and you're going to give it to me quick? Sure, I'll go ahead and grab onto that. So being present, being out there, looking for those opportunities to show that you know what you know, to validate, is getting that street cred, right? So getting that street cred, and that's where people are going to pick up. And someone asked a question about certifications, and I did post a response in the chat right now. They want to know, how do you find those certifications to put behind your product? Now, if you want to go big, you can go to the national associations. If you want to start small, you can stay within your state and put in for those CEUs. It's not a hard process, but it does cost. Now, if you want to develop a certification program, which I have looked into, you have to find the right organization to adopt it. I had posted I gave a code to Kara that she shared with you guys for telehealth, that someone is starting. They have started a certification course, goes live on May 1st, and they certify for many different programs. So I know some of the people who are on that board, and that's why I was like, okay, this is reputable. It's not just somebody trying to spin some smoke and mirrors and collect dollars, because that's not what it's about. It's really trying to put something out there that's evidence-based, and they will vet your stuff. It's not just, here's my opinion and here's what I think works. you need to have some evidence behind what it is that you're putting forth. And that's what's key if you're going that certification route. And you have to follow their platform. You've got to give the right information. I didn't disclose this, but I am the president of the Florida OT Association, and we're giving free CEUs every Thursday right now. Now, because we're a state association, we can also credential programs. But with my conflict of interest, I'm like, nah, you can't credential my stuff. So you have to be mindful of that. But you need to see how those courses are accepted by the boards and then find out who those people are and try to affiliate.
And what I found is it's really interesting how each state has such different rules and regulations, and some are way easier and some are like, no, you have to go through all this process. So it does take a lot to figure that out. So awesome. Thank you, Dougleen. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lisa.
Sure. Well, I would certainly echo what Dougleen and Angela have said about making sure that there's a need. But for me, I mean, all of my content was, you know, essentially there. It was not organized, but, you know, when I'd been doing it for so many years, I kind of had a system in place. So I think if I had any advice, if you are doing something now that has been well received, how can you package that and make it easier for someone else? Solve that problem. That would be my biggest tip. Look at what you've already done or already created or what you're passionate about, and then do that needs assessment and determine if others would also find that of value. And then could you create something around that to make something to solve the problem for that person? And then as far as, you know, I did seek, I have a sister who's really good at making things beautiful. I contacted some other people that had done something similar. So like Angela said, too, it's okay to reach out and get some help or get some guidance on how should I create this? So it's, you know, it looks good. It sounds right. I market it right. I mean, that is why we have all these people in this group, because it's a wealth of knowledge and it's okay to access that for those people to help you move you forward. So those would be my tips, I think.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And it like your packaging that stuff in the box is so valuable. I mean, think how many years, how much money, how much stress that it took you to develop that. And you're making it so much easier for someone else to do it. That's like with our Therapy Business Builder program. The whole premise is making it easier for someone and saving them time, stress, money. Love it. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Yep. Okay, Holly.
So when we started Purpose, as Kara mentioned, we were still in college and we were very lucky. We tried to utilize as many resources that we could through Penn State University. The first and foremost that we recommend to everybody is the Penn State Law or just your local college. If they have a law program, a lot of times they will be accepting cases for students. So we were able to get walked through with our LLC. We're working on a trademark right now with them. And it's nice. It's cost effective, but we're also learning in the process. So we know, why we're checking boxes on these forms, and we don't have a lawyer fee. So that was really beneficial when we first started. Also just cracking down. And we took a lot of weekends where we just were on YouTube Googling, best practices for maybe starting a website or doing graphic design. I'm still teaching myself how to use Adobe, all the presets. So it's, you know, when you sign up to run a business or start a business, you're constantly learning. And I think that's a really good opportunity too, just having a company. You get so many more skill sets than you signed up for. But Penn State Law was awesome. And then also, let me see. Oh, market research for sure. We always like doing spreadsheets and kind of like presentation tables. So who are our competitors? What are they doing that we see maybe their customers are reacting positively to? How can we adapt that to our company? And then social media, that's been a big one for us with marketing. We really have grown organically. We don't do a ton of paid marketing, but social media, creating content that's engaging with others. And like everybody else has said, just networking in general has been really helpful. We have a SCORE program, which is just pretty much retired professionals. And we have a mentor through SCORE. We also have local business incubators. We have two within kind of Ohio and PA. And we just utilize that. And then finally, apply for grants. So get your business out there, get your idea out there, and get your face out there. When people see you presenting and they see your passion, that's really what, you know, attracts people to what you're doing, attracts them, getting them interested in the topics. And you can also win funding that way. So we were really lucky. We got on a TV show called The Investment. We pitched our product. And then we also have done Shark Tank kind of pitch rounds. We have applied for the real Shark Tank too. Still waiting to hear back. We're not getting on yet. But, you know, really just don't be afraid to get your idea out there. Reach out to the news. Let them know what you're doing. That's free advertising.
That's awesome. We got to get you guys on Shark Tank. What can we do?
I know.
I mean, everyone on here, we'll all sign something, right? Or, I mean, I don't know. We can do something to get you on there. That's awesome. Idea. Great. Okay. Well, I kind of did things a little out of the order than what I said, but what other last minute things do any of you guys have to say? Angela, Dougleen, Lisa, Holly, for people, any other last minute tips? Otherwise, we could open it up to questions because I know there was people who had questions on here. So is there any?
I would just say real quickly, whatever you think you're going to market to, you have to build that audience way early before you're going to try to sell something. So that was also something I did in reverse that I have learned now. But, and that's going to take a lot longer time than you think it is, unless you have something that's a little bit different or going to like AOTA or something else. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And I would just say that, like, anticipate it's good. That is just going to take a lot of work. You can't just pay $100 for a Facebook ad and people are going to come to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I completely agree with that. Definitely. Another thing I would add, ask for reviews from your customers, clients. We just started doing a third party review, which is better because you don't think of me when you're answering these questions. Like, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you're telling me that something I can improve on. So we have a third party emailing system, and that has been super beneficial for our company because our customers can see, you know, objectively what the other customers thought, and then we can get feedback so we can keep improving. I think if you ask for reviews in person, or it's tough because people don't want to give you the full truth sometimes. So just asking objectively or doing an email system and just telling people right as soon as they either use your service or purchase something from you, you know, we would love to hear your honest feedback because we want to improve.
That's very important to point out, not only when you have the product, but on the development side with design thinking. I was a part of a boot camp for an app development, and one developer dropped off and I have another developer and I'm almost ready to launch an app. But it's important that you do that. And you keep saying market research and someone's in the chat asking, what is market research and how do you do it? It's basically tapping those who would be your ideal clients and finding out what it is that they want, what it is that they need. And if you have your MVP, your minimal viable product, and you bring it to them, what's the feedback that they're going to give it to you? I mean, that they're going to give to you. And as Holly said, try to have somebody else do that, because just Google design thinking. Google's for certain things and not for others. But yes, Google design thinking. And there's many videos out there that walk you through that process and show you how to do it. And when you get to that stage to gather that feedback and then you have to go back and iterate, that's how you know that you're developing for the people and not for yourself. You're developing for what people want. So it's critical to have an unbiased approach to doing that. If you can get somebody else to help you do that, that's great. If you have to be the face to do it, like I had to because I needed non-disclosure agreements and all type of things in place, then you have to be objective and not take it personal, not interrupt when they're giving you the feedback. Sit back and take it because it's important.
I love it. Holly, what third-party review system did you guys use or are you guys using?
So our new website platform is WordPress, and WordPress works with integration systems. You have to integrate each pretty much like tactic that you want for your website. Ours is called CRV, and it's a free integration. You can pay for the upgrade, but we're on a budget. So it's a free free integration. You customize it how you'd like it, and then it has its own web like hosting. So our customers can click on it and it goes to their website and shows our profile.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I can link it in the comments in a little bit. Okay. Too. It's definitely helped us.
Great. Anything else?
Someone just posted in the chat that Google announced the other day that Google Merchant Services are now free. So that's something else to look into. Yeah. And you can check your Google Trends to find analytics. That's another thing. Yes. So if you have your SEO and your social media and all of that, you can track how you're doing and get feedback that way. If you're not moving, then you need to reiterate.
Yeah.
And Anita in the comments section posted that you need to find people's pain points, problems they need solved. And yeah, that's what we hear constantly in our programs and from our coaches and mentors is the pain points and problems. People will pay for problems that need to be solved. So, and Anita also, I think you were the one, Anita, that mentioned you don't have to pay for, you know, advertising and so forth. And that's true. I mean, I haven't spent a dime on paid advertisements. There's other ways you can do it. So awesome.
Yeah. So leading to that, one of the questions in the box was also, how do you grow organically? It was earlier up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you do that by serving, honestly, serving. It's not about, as Angela said, you can't just go for the ask right away. You have to develop that trust and those relationships with people. So it's about serving, being authentic, because it shows. It really does show when you're putting yourself out there. Are you just in it to be like, all right, I got this, pay me? Or are you out there because I have this, I developed it. And what's the why? What's your why? Identify your why.
Yep. Well, and Angela and Lisa were part of the Next Level Visionary members early on. And like our Next Level Facebook group just started. I mean, we had no plans for a paid membership group whatsoever. But people wanted to, we had meetings. And then all of a sudden people wanted more meetings. And it's like, how are we going to keep up with this? So it literally grew itself into what it is now. There was no plans for any of it. I still go back to Lisa's question. She asked me not too long ago. Well, maybe it was a while ago. What do you want, Kara? Or what is your long-term vision? I'm like, I don't know. Whatever grows into it. But yeah, you know, and the focus of the Facebook group when we first started, honestly, was just supporting other occupational therapy professionals to level up, to know that there's so much more out there that we can do, that we can start businesses, we could do side gigs, we can do all of this stuff. And then it kind of grew from there. So yeah.
I think what I've learned, Kara, from you is you just follow the need.
Yep.
What is your vision? It's what you follow the need.
Yep.
And that's where you pivot and yeah.
Yeah. And I love, yeah, pivots. Pain points, problems, and learning to pivot.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, we just coined that.
I like that. Pivot transfer.
Awesome. Okay. What other questions do you guys have? I mean, we have four amazing professionals that have created multiple products out there. What other questions do you guys have? I'm going to look to make sure I didn't miss others. Tolly, I don't, if I mispronounce your name, I'm sorry, but mentioned that they stay in touch with their clients by sending them simple birthday cards with a business card attached or things like that. And I've heard other people doing that, sending out little cards and so forth to keep in touch with clients. This is Dominique. I forgot you asked this one right away. Sorry. Any information regarding filing patents? Is that how you say it? Yeah. Like if you have a product and doing and getting trademarks and then getting a patent on it. For sensory-based products, she said.
Okay.
Any ideas?
So I've spoken to a patent attorney. And I would advise you speak to a patent attorney. As mentioned previous by Holly, universities oftentimes do have access to free advice. If not, go through SCORE or your SBA and see who they have available. You can go online and do your own patent search. However, that doesn't mean it's thorough enough where you're not going to get somebody to come back after you because you thought you did a great search and the website recently changed. So if you went to try to do the open search on your own, it doesn't navigate as easy as it used to. So you've got trademarks and you have patents. When you're talking about patents, those are on your products. When you're talking about trademarks, that's more so going towards maybe your intellectual property. You've got the R for it's registered and the T for its trademark. So looking into the differences in all of that, one is regional, one is nationwide. Does it protect you internationally? So those are things you need to think about. What's your reach? Why do you need it? The poor man's patent, as they used to call it, doesn't really apply. With so much out there now online, some people talk about R&D, that's research and development. I heard a joke the other day, rip off and develop. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is horrible. But it's happening. People are putting up a lot of free content. And I've seen it in some groups where someone took that, changed some things around, slapped their logo on it, and put it right out there. So that gets into your copywriting. So it's important that if you're putting something out there, you be mindful as how valuable is it? Is it really a freebie that you're just going to put out there? Or is it something you've put your hard-earned time, energy, knowledge, effort into, and you want to go about protecting that? And it can be costly, and it can be, $500 and up, depending on what it is you're trying to do. And that's not even the attorney fee. So if you find a free attorney, yay. If not, I recommend you find somebody.
And I am working with my attorney, an attorney that specializes in trademark for my logo and my content. So it is not cheap, but she knows what she's doing. I would have no idea. And so, and she's done the search and she's doing the paperwork. So it's not a cheap process, but in the end, it will be, I'll feel good about having that behind me. So,
awesome. Okay, thank you very much. Let's see.
Ivy's saying you can buy your own copyright at copyright.gov. Yeah, Coe, I think she meant copyright. Copyright.gov. Yes, you can go there to do that, but you have to weigh the pros and cons. Do you really need to do that?
Right.
Because my understanding is, although you probably couldn't, I don't know that you could defend this, but once you write something, it is automatically is copywritten. It's your content. It's automatic. You can file for a copyright, but that also, if anyone's thinking of writing a book, and correct me if anybody else knows different, because I definitely am not a specialist in this area, but to get your book copywritten, it takes months once you submit it. It could take 6 months or longer. So, what do you want the information out there? Do you want to use it to promote something? Do you want to just put it out there to serve? How worried are you? Like they were saying about your content being taken and used by somebody else, because
I've been advised just to add the C at the bottom or somewhere on my application,
right?
Just to let whomever is looking at it know that it is indeed copyrighted. So they, at least there's some visual there to remind them that this isn't to be copied and sold or what have you.
Right, in a blurb, but that it's, that's automatic. It's your content. You can just add that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think a good point to bring up too, because I think you mentioned something that was great, Angela, is the fact that you don't want, like, if it's something that you want to put out there to the world, but it is going to take you 6 months to a year to have something copyrighted, well, you have to weigh the pros and cons of that. And at the end of the day, the person, you know, everyone, like all of us could be offering the exact same thing right now, but the person who puts themselves out there the most and provides the most value is the one that's going to end up getting that client, I guess. It depends on what you're offering, of course. But I think that's a really good point to bring up. It's like, at the end of the day, the person with the most awareness, the one who's willing to put themselves out the most and provide as much free value on the front end, is going to be the one that is the most attractive in that sense. So it's like, you don't want to have that as something holding you back from doing what you want to do, essentially, is where I'm getting at. So I think that's something that holds a lot of people up. It's like, oh my God, the copyright, the patent, the trademark, the this. And it's like it all starts piling up as reasons why not to move forward with your dream idea. So don't let that, you know, hold you back initially. Just go for it.
And also too, like just on that note, it's hard. Whatever you're trying to do, whether it's write a short ebook or build a whole course or come up with a product, it's hard. It's so flipping hard. And I don't know, I found, like, especially when everything happened with COVID and everybody's life changed and we had a pivot, and I mean, reality, it was total crap and it sucked. But on those terrible days when I didn't want anything, I had my group of people that I was, you know, serving on Facebook for free. And that is what got me feeling good again, is helping somebody else. And so I just think, like, in this process, it's not, you aren't just serving to, other people are getting something from you, but you're getting, if you really love what you're doing, you're getting something from that too. And there's value on both ends to that. It's not just all about, I don't know how to say it, but I think that's so important. And right now, like, it's just so important to have a bigger idea of why you're doing what you're doing.
And I've always served, and a lot of people are like, oh, you need to charge more, you need this, you need to do that. And I'm like, sometimes it's about getting it out there to help, and I can add value always. I know anything I put out is valuable because I don't do mediocre. But the thing is, as you said, it's helping people in their need and what is your why. And for me, my biggest why is, at some point, we are all going to be consumers of healthcare. And I would love the people on the other end of the service delivery to be competent. So if I could help build that generation up by any means, I'm going to try and do that. So yeah, finding what your why is, and that's where that joy and that motivation is going to come from, because it's not easy. It's not easy to nurture a community. I sit there and I'm looking to launch a membership program, and I'm realistically having to block my time and say, how much truly can I serve them? Because when I put it out there, I want to be present. I don't want to just come on and put my half foot forward. I want to put my best foot forward every time I come and I'm present, because that's the value you're adding. And that's what people are paying for. So when I launched my Start Teletherapy group, it was for people to come in there, and I'm very mindful about what I do there. If I'm finding some free resources and I post it, it's going to be quality. I just don't post anything or let anything get posted there. And we have to be mindful of the tone and climate that we create within our groups, that we have to mentor and nurture each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. I love it.
Okay, one, two. Once you have it created, you have it created, right? You have it created, and then it's the marketing. So it might be intensive work for a period of time, but then it's done. And then you have this beautiful product. So you just have to start. I would say just start. Mm-hmm. Block some time, get to it. You can do it.
We had someone ask, Ivy asked, when you created your courses, did you get a liability insurance for this? Or Do you use your company's insurance for this? Just making sure everything is covered for liability if it happens. We never know. Thank you.
For me?
Yeah, for anyone.
Oh. We have our own liability insurance that we purchase. Purpose like has an account with them.
And then when I purchased mine, I specifically told them what I was going to be doing, that I was going to be doing education with clinicians. It was going to be online. It was going to, you know, what exactly it was going to be. And I think that's part of why my insurance is higher than a lot of other LLCs that I know, but I wanted to be covered for that. So I think I am. I haven't ran it by a lawyer, but it's pretty comprehensive.
And it's important that you contact your insurance carrier. I carry liability insurance many moons ago, not even that long ago. I had a therapy dog, and when I went to get him, the intent was he is coming to work day one. At 7 weeks old, I had him assigned to three different schools. And to enroll him in therapy and service dog school, they're like, we don't take him until a year. I'm like, he's ready. He knows sign language. He pees and poops on command. He uses the litter box, everything. He's ready. And the biggest hurdle everybody kept asking was, is he insured? I'm like, yep, he's on my insurance. So anything you do, pick up the phone and call your carrier. Oftentimes when you have multiple things associated with your insurance, it can get you to negotiate sometimes a lower rate. So disclosing what it is that you're doing is critical so that you're covered in the end. You're sure that what you're doing is covered and you can sleep easy at night.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think Anita made a comment. Entrepreneurs have to wear many hats when building a business. Many things out of our comfort zone, I'm still learning. Yes, I think entrepreneurship is like the best personal development program you could ever be in. For sure.
I have one last question for you guys. So do you have another course product that you are planning on creating soon? I know some of you said you're working on something, but do you have something else that you want to do that you maybe haven't done before?
Well, I just launched like last week because I have this other area that I love, the holistic, complementary and integrative medicines kind of realm of OT. And so I have recorded meditations for probably 10 years. I have an audio system. And so, and I've been at me again, people were saying, because I would just, you know, freely share them. And people were like, you should really record them and sell them. And so I packaged this whole kind of self-care practice with video and audio, and it was a fair amount of work, but it was great fun. And so I just launched, that was my first Kajabi course actually. So yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Lisa.
That's really cool.
That takes me. And so I'm having some people trial it for me and see what they think and provide me some feedback. So
great.
Yeah. So we are in the process of creating more OT apparel and also apparel for therapy in general. So it could apply to SLP or also PT. And then we're also looking into starting a additional kind of box, not subscription, but just one-time box of for activity directors, where it would be a lower cost. They'd be able to purchase it for their activity department.
Awesome.
And for me, I am building out my next 90 mindset because it was developed to help practitioners as well as students navigate their lives. And it works on that self-care. I'm also a massage therapist. And I always take time out for that self-care. If you follow my personal page, you'll see a lot of sunrises. I still sneak to the beach even right now. And I have this strange tongue drum that I play. And everybody's like, what the heck is that? But I, similar to Lisa, it's important to practice that self-care. So I am developing courses in that realm. I do a lot of soft skills for business owners and other disciplines with that revisioning party that we had the other day and things like that. So those things are valuable. And I love to create in that space because that is really effortless. I don't have to go dig into the books for anything like that. Mm-hmm. I live it, I walk it, I talk it. And that's what helps me be able to wear my many hats and keep going. So I want to give that next 90 mindset to others.
Awesome. How about you, Angela? Do you have any other things?
I have a lot of ideas and things I would like to do, but I am purposely just not letting myself right now. My clinic is brand new. COVID hit. I transitioned to telehealth. Like, I'm trying very hard to just focus on my business, save the clinic that I have, and grow my course, and really do it the right way now that I have some better things in place. So I have lots of ideas and things I want to do, but I had just learned over the past 8 months that you have to be focused if you're going to do something really well. And I already feel very split having two big different things. So that is my goal for the next 6 months, is just to focus, grind out, and try and master what I have. But I have lots of ideas and things I want to do.
Hey, that's awesome. My coach has been telling me you need to focus.
Oh, man.
For a long time.
So you put them on the wall and you put them in different quarters of the year. And that's how I develop. I put my ideas like that in this quarter. Quarter one is this. Quarter two is this. Quarter three is this. Or this is going to take me 3 quarters. This is going to take me 2 quarters. Yes. I have them on my bathroom wall and my room wall. Oh, yes.
I love it. Oh, my goodness.
I love it. Well, great. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Lots of awesome questions and feedback and thoughts on here. Thank you, guys. I know you are each super busy and have so many things going on. So thank you for taking the time to come on here and help educate all of these people that want to create something. So very motivating.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much, everyone. That was awesome.
Have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you all later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you for listening to today's show, which is sponsored by our Therapy Business Builder Program, where we help healthcare professionals start the business of their dreams from the ground up. Also, be sure to join our free Next Level Occupational Therapy Facebook group. And for even more support, guidance, and training, check out our Next Level Visionary Membership group. Time to level up, occupational therapy professionals.